Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to ask you to stay with me. It's always a time of motivation, inspiration, education, and we do it without manipulation. We don't play games. We don't try to solicit money. We don't try to ask for membership. We don't do anything except give you information. That's what this show is given for, to give you accurate information so that hopefully you will be able to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you can do that, then you obviously can orient and adjust to the plan. That's really up to you. But my job is to get it right, get it accurate, and not to play games. Thank you for listening. You've listened for a long time now. So many of you across the country listen and write to me and request our material. I'm always honored to send you the books or the MP3s of the radio shows or other messages. They're always free. There's never a charge. All you have to do is contact us, and we'll see that you get it immediately. Send it right out to you. Thank you for those of you that even make contributions to make sure the show stays on the air in your area. We never solicit contributions, but amazingly, God always prays for it. And I'm always amazed at how He does it. So thank you to our Heavenly Father for meeting all of our needs. And thank you that you're listening to us today. I'm reviewing the 10 problem-solving devices that are the basis for this radio show. The FLOT line, F-L-O-T, you know, FLOT, forward line of troops, F-L-O-T. We're using that military analogy we've always used to describe how the Christian can establish a forward line of troops in his life. And that forward line of troops is a metaphor for 10 unique problem-solving devices. If you learn those 10 problem-solving devices, and if you will use them, you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. That's why we always say adversity is inevitable and stress is optional, because adversity is what circumstances do to you. However, stress, well, that's what you do to yourself. You do not, I repeat, you do not have to live a life of worry. You do not have to live a life of fear. You do not have to live a life of bitterness and hatred and antagonism. That is not the Christian life. The Christian life is a supernatural life, a different life. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and many other things. So if you find yourself worried or afraid or feeling full of guilt or agitated or implacable, you are out of fellowship with God. You're allowing your sin nature to take control. Maybe you're having a little Operation Pity Party or something. Who knows? Maybe you're going into some sort of vindictive revenge motivation over something that happened to you. I don't know. That is not the Christian life. The Christian life is the most unique life in the world, and one of the most unique assets is happiness. Happiness is a problem-solving device for us, and we have been reviewing the happiness as a problem-solving device starting last week, talking about plus H, sharing the happiness of God. There's also minus H, or neutral H, we call it, and that's the happiness that is associated with the details of life. You know, some people believe happiness is associated with circumstances. Happiness is associated with people. And that's not true. No more true than happiness is associated with marriage. You know, marriage compounds problems. It doesn't solve problems. And so when we get married, we're not necessarily guaranteed any happiness. And we're not guaranteed happiness if we come into a fortune like winning the lottery or something like that. It was amazing. Recently, a huge lottery was offered across the country, and millions of people were lining up to buying it, trying to purchase their ticket to happiness. If I could just win the lottery, I'll be happy. Unfortunately, unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. Having a lot of money just gives you the ability to be unhappy in a different part of town. That's all. Did you hear me? Having a lot of money gives you the ability to be unhappy in a different part of town. But unhappiness is not the Christian life. Capacity for happiness is what God has designed for you. You have to have capacity for happiness. And it can be enjoyed in living and in dying. You know, The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, in other words, the establishment concepts of God's Word, the people are unrestrained. But happy, that's neutral H, is the person who keeps the laws of establishment. A person that's not a Christian can be happy. He can have temporal happiness if he follows the laws of establishment. If he honors volition, and that means he gives everybody the right to choose. If he follows God's prescribed concept in marriage, right man, right woman. If he establishes a family and raises children and teaches them proper norms and standards. And if he observes the concepts of nationalism within his nation, proud of who he is, serving his nation, giving his all for his nation, there's a life of happiness right there. God designed you to be happy. And you can be happy apart from God if you just observe those things, just those things alone. But there's much more happiness. There's happiness that can be enjoyed in living and happiness that can be enjoyed in dying. It's because if you have perfect happiness in living, I can guarantee you, you will have perfect happiness in dying, whether you die quick or whether it's prolonged and powerful death. Doesn't make any difference. Short and sweet or prolonged and painful. You can be happy. The only difference is this, that in living we use our volition to decide. It's to full extent we can decide, but now when we die, well, that's God's sovereignty. He selects the time, the manner, and the place of our departure. We don't have anything to do with that one. But while you're here, while you are alive, God has made you to be happy. If you live poorly, you're going to die miserably, I promise you. If you put all your hopes in living and living in people and circumstances to make you happy, then you're going to die unhappy. You'll die miserably. You'll have mental attitude panic when it all comes to an end, and your problems will be intensified. Can you imagine dying guilty and full of self-pity and bitter and fear and doubt? That's the way some people will die, especially if they don't know even or not if they are saved, if they have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine someone coming to death's doorstep and not knowing what the next step is. I know for any believer to be absent from the body is to be face to face with the Lord, where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. It's all passed away. You'll see things you've never seen. You'll hear sounds you've never heard. You'll be reunited with loved ones in eternity. These are God's promises to you. So for the believer, the mature believer, dying is a wonderful thing. But for a person that's not a Christian, dying is a miserable thing. Or a person that is a Christian but has never advanced in his Christian life, he's never grown spiritually, he's been out of fellowship with God for years, he's going to die full of guilt and self-pity. It is possible to live a wonderful life, and it is possible to die a wonderful death. But only, and I repeat, only if you use God's plan. So plus H, sharing the happiness of God is a state of your soul. It's not something somebody can do for you. It's not something somebody can give you. It is your insulation against fear and arrogance in your life. Having this kind of happiness is a phenomenal asset. Listen to Job. Therefore, plus H, the happiness of God, our problem-solving device, happiness belongs to the man whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. First of all, God disciplines those that he loves. Hebrews 12:6 tells us that. When God puts discipline into our life, and he will, it's always designed to correct the course. It's always designed to keep us from self-destructing. It's not designed because he's mad at you and he's trying to hurt you. If God allows disaster to come into your life, there may be a lot of reasons, and discipline could be one of them. So never hate the discipline of God. The Bible clearly says in Proverbs 15, he that hates the reproach of God shall die. Hey, listen, when God has to lower the hammer, as in Hebrews 12:6 through 12, suck it up and listen to what he's trying to tell you, or else you're going to wind up shortening your life. You see, He wounds us, the Bible says, but he also bandages us. He strikes us, but his hands also heal us. He can deliver us, the Bible says in Proverbs 5, from 6 different calamities. Wait a minute, even 7. And in these no evil shall touch you. Listen to what is written in Job. In time of famine, he will redeem you from death. In time of war, from the power of the sword. You'll be protected from malicious gossip, and you will not be afraid of the destruction when it comes. And you will laugh at destruction and famine and need not be afraid of the beast of the earth. You will come to your grave in full age as stacks of grain are harvested in their season. This is a wonderful promise from God. As a mature believer, that's a believer who, number one, stays filled with the Holy Spirit. A believer, number two, who continues to take in God's word consistently and make the application to his life. Number three, a believer who begins to replicate the life of Christ by renovating his thinking. When you come to your end, it will not be a moment too soon. God will not take you too soon. He will leave you until his plan is complete. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Plus H, sharing the happiness of God is the monopoly of any believer who's spiritually mature. Unfortunately, there's only a few believers who reach that. You know, spiritual autonomy, spiritual self-esteem, spiritual maturity, that's the road. It all is in phase two of God's plan. Phase one, salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Phase two, spirituality. Now that I'm a Christian, what am I supposed to do? And phase three, the believer in eternity. Once you enter into eternity, what's it going to be like? What's there? What can you expect? It's all in the Bible. But in phase two of the Christian life, this happiness that I'm talking about is a phenomenal happiness. And you're going to be surprised when I show you where it comes from. Very few believers have this sort of happiness. And basically, it's because they cannot be consistent in their post-salvation spiritual lives. They cannot be consistent. Consistent in, number one, rebounding and staying filled with the Spirit. And consistent, number two, in taking in God's Word on a daily basis. These sort of people cannot concentrate on the Word of God long enough to learn anything. Well, because they're easily distracted and easily discouraged. You know, the world is out there to distract you. The world will do that. The flesh will destroy you, and Satan will deceive you. Most people can't get past the lure of the world. But if you can, then perfect happiness is found in 1 John 1:4, where it says this, "We write these things that our joy may be brought to completion." This sort of happiness that I'm talking about comes through the communication of the Word of God, by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it's the process that has to be completed. God has a process that you must learn. This plus H, this sharing the happiness that God has and Christ had, can be defined as happiness of humanity of Jesus Christ. He had it during his time on this earth. In the great power experiment of his hypostatic union, he had this sort of happiness. He talked about it in Hebrews 12, where it said, "Who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross," the joy that was set before him. What kind of joy? The joy of knowing that he was exactly where God wanted him to be, fulfilling God's plan. First of all, you will never be happy until you're there. Until you are absolutely sure that you are in the plan of God, you will never be happy. You will always second guess yourself. You will always be wondering, what am I doing wrong? Why am I not happy? It's because you're out of the will of God. You're out of fellowship. You're not growing spiritually. You're not the man or the woman God wants you to be. But there's always hope. There's always time. Because divine happiness can be resident in your soul. Paul said it best in Philippians 1:21. He said, "Living for me, living is Jesus Christ, and dying..." Well, that's profit. That's promotion. You see, the relationship between our Lord's plus H, His happiness, and my or your happiness, our plus H, that relationship comes from John 15:11, where Jesus said these words. Listen carefully. I taught you these things in order that my happiness might be in you, and that your happiness might be completed. Our Lord, in that passage, had been teaching on the vine and the branches. And the key statement He made is this: if you abide in Me, and My words abide in you. In other words, if you keep My mandates, you will abide in My love. That's all it boils down to. If you abide in Me, stay in fellowship. And if My words abide in you, grow in grace and learn God's plan, then you can have the same happiness that He had. Perfect happiness. It's always related to the grace policy of God. You didn't believe that? You don't think that happiness comes from God's grace? Listen to Psalm 31:7. I will rejoice and be happy in the provisions of your grace. Grace. Our faith in Jesus Christ is a grace asset. Christianity is not a religion of works. It's not a religion of suffering and pain. It's a religion of grace. It is Christ living in me. He paid for my sin. He's already done the judging. It's already been done. It's judged on Him on the cross. I don't have to try to please God by trying to make up for all of my sins. My sins were paid for. Now, I do have some things to do. Yes, I do need to stay out of the flesh. I do need to stay away from the lure of the world. And I certainly don't need to be deceived by Satan. But my sins have been paid for. And so I don't need to go around with my head hanging down, wondering whether or not I'm even going to go to heaven. If I have accepted Christ as my Savior, the Bible says these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. He that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This happiness that I'm talking about is a phenomenal thing. Because we all say, you know, you've said it, I'm happy. You know, you think Grandma says when all the grandkids are there, I'm so happy. Our dad says when he gets to do what he wants to do from the weekend, nobody to bug him, I'm happy, I'm having a great time. But what we're really talking about are the circumstances that make us happy. You know, I have times that I'm supremely happy. If I'm out on the lake fishing and I'm catching bass and I'm running down the lake in my bass boat, I'm happy. Yeah, it's great. But this is not the kind of happiness I'm talking about. The real happiness, no matter what you have, if that's what it is, if that's the only happiness you have, the happiness that's related to circumstances, then no matter what you'll have, you'll always want more. Because there always will be something more you'll want, and accumulating more and more and more does not make you happy, and it does not give you contentment. Happiness, that's a wonderful problem-solving device. It's a status quo, but one that never looks over the horizon and never, ever wants more. In Philippians 4:10, Paul said, I rejoice. I rejoice. That's the word for happiness, kairo. I'm happy in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. This is a contribution came into him. A financial gift while Paul was under house arrest delivered by Epaphroditus. He said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Thou at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked the opportunity to provide. And then he said this amazing thing. Yes, he just got a large gift from the church at Philippi. Epaphroditus brought it. He's able to afford this house arrest he's under. But then he says this. Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased, that means to be made humble, and I know how to abound, that means to be over and have more than you need. Everywhere in all things I have learned, and here's the key word, I have learned. both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's your key words. I have learned, whatever state I'm in, to be content, independent of external circumstances. Content, independent of external circumstances. I know how to be made humble, that's abased. I know how to be brought into a humble condition. And I know how to abound, that is to be have more than I need. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's an amazing statement. That should be our statement, shouldn't it? God's matchless grace was designed a spiritual life for us, a life that we can live that can overcome the best or the worst of our environment, whether it's prosperity or adversity. You know, some people think prosperity is not a test. It's a bigger test than adversity. When you get under prosperity, you forget about God. You focus on the gift and forget about the giver. But when you're under adversity, you're focusing on the giver wanting the gift. So actually, prosperity can destroy more people than adversity. So God can give you the ability through His Word and by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit to live or die with great capacity for life. You know, having the ability to be alone or having the ability to be in a crowd, to have perfect happiness and perfect contentment is an amazing thing. It's sort of a self-contained happiness. You know, we become slaves to a system or a dependency. You know, we spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need. We're looking for some narcotic to deaden the pain of our empty life. But stability in American society is disappearing because there's a lack of self-contained happiness. People need something to make them happy. They can't handle being alone. They can't handle being content. You must remember, we are responsible for our own happiness. Nothing outside of us is responsible to make us happy. Our neighbors are not responsible to make us happy. We are responsible for our own happiness. And this happiness that I'm talking about, this plus H, this self-contained happiness is an inner happiness, and it goes with you as a constant companion. Therefore, you will be above any circumstances in your life. This happiness, self-contained happiness, is a biblical subject, and it's part of God's plan for you. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating, and it's not drinking. Instead, it is righteousness, prosperity, and happiness by means of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, you also have become imitators of us and of our Lord, receiving the word with much pressure, with happiness from the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:2, the doctrine which you have it on the basis of your own norms and standards which you have before God. Happiness belongs to the person who does not condemn himself in what he does. This sort of happiness as a problem-solving device, this plus H is mandated for us. We must have it. Philippians 3:1. Finally, brethren, keep on having happiness in the Lord. There's our source, our prepositional phrase, in the Lord. That's where it comes from. Contentment is the profile of the believer who has self-contained happiness. If you have self-contained happiness, you will have contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness is a means of great profit when accompanied by contentment. Contentment, that means you've learned to have a lot or have a little. It doesn't make any difference. This sort of happiness that I'm talking about is characterized by tranquility of soul, no stress in the soul, contentment, capacity for life and love and appreciation and gratitude and thanksgiving. You will never feel threatened by any circumstances. This sort of life is invigorating. It's stimulating. It comes from having the right priorities. Having the happiness of God is you having a true sense of security, like eternal security. No fear in time, no worry in time. It's a stability produced by the honor and virtue of God from the source of His Word living inside of you. Remember, the Word of God is alive and powerful, living inside of you. What a great thing. This happiness that God offers for you, what a great thing. My job is to communicate the truth. I've done it. Communicate God's Word. I'm not a comedian. I'm a communicator. And I communicate with accurate content. The Holy Spirit's job is to capture what I communicated to you, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you comprehend it. I know you understood what I said. If you stuck with me this entire show, you comprehended what I said. But now the challenge, will you convert it? Will you transfer what you heard into wisdom in your soul? Will you make the application of this into your life? Will you? See, it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to apply it. And you probably need to hear it again, don't you? It's on our website. You can go to the website and listen to it again. It's up there, rickhughesministries.org. You can always contact me. We'll even send you a copy of it. Send you a CD of it if you'd like. But don't forget it. Don't forget Plus H, sharing the happiness of God. It is a wonderful, wonderful problem-solving device. And it starts with you believing in Jesus Christ and receiving Him as your Savior. There's no greater joy than knowing that you have eternal life. And there's no greater joy than knowing for sure that if you were to die, that you will, in fact, go to heaven. That gives you a peace in your life that is beyond understanding. And then as you grow in grace, as you take God's Word and learn it and apply it into your life, begin to replicate the life of Christ, you will be a magnet to other people. They will not understand why you're always so happy. And it's because of your relationship with Christ. Hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. I hope you'll be back next week. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.